listen to Humble and Fred today? No. Yes. I'm very busy. No. Yes.
Not the legendary Humble and Fred Show. Humble and Fred Radio.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now, from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
TGIT. That's right. Thank God it's Thursday. You only get four new Humble and Fred shows a week. So just enjoy them. Just enjoy.
They're very valuable.
Well, that's right. They're worth... you okay?
Yeah. No, I'm good.
No, you're good?
Yes. Yes. I was getting a little bit of a fallout or a crackling in my headset, but I'm fine, Howie.
Yeah, we're doing four shows a week. And what we do is we try and pack in five shows worth of content. For instance, yesterday we did so many minutes of our podcast extra that you grew tired of it all, and you went, okay, that's enough, because you had enough.
Yes, well put. Well said.
You just were like, you looked at me like, okay, can we just stop this now? How much more do we have to do?
Actually, I had to go to the washroom.
I know, I was going to say, and part of it is because you hadn't, you know, cleared out your...
I've been pounding the water and, you know.
You hadn't cleared out your dusty terp site. And, no, I just thought it was funny. It made me laugh. You're like, all right, enough. That's where we are in our careers. We just decide to call the show off at some point. But another jam-packed, content-laden show today. We're going to be talking about a... well, we've got some people coming in from a company called Vapium.
Not that I saw.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, it's okay.
Did you see Amanda's thing? She says, just me today.
No, I saw that.
Oh, okay.
And I sent her a note saying, no.
All right. Oh, cool.
We have other people scheduled.
Perfect.
But I'm just trying to tell you what Vapium is, and if you'll give me a moment, I will look them up. It's just another aspect. You were mentioning yesterday, you were telling me just a few moments ago, it seems like yesterday, you were telling me a few minutes ago that Kevin O'Leary was not big on the weed stocks.
No, he says not until it's legal in the United States, because a man of his reputation and a man of his cross-border affairs... He doesn't want to be associated with it in any way that could affect his standing in the United States. Some people are thinking he's overthinking it, overplaying it, but a man in his position, he doesn't need to go there.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I mean, if you were a high-profile Canadian official, businessman, whatever, you know, if anyone could get harassed at the border by all this, it would probably be someone like him or you know, someone like yourself, famous.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it makes sense. And, you know, he's independently wealthy and, you know, all that. So he just doesn't need to go there. So he wasn't saying it from any moralistic standpoint or any investment standpoint. He was just saying, I guess, from a safety standpoint for himself, that he just doesn't even need to play that game. That was all. And as you say, it makes sense. On that note, yesterday the Toronto stock market had another big hit. I think it was close to 400 points, if I'm not sure, or 300 points.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
And apparently pot stocks, from what I heard, pot stocks took a big hit. So maybe now it's time to get in again. You know, we were just talking last week that maybe you missed the boat and they were up there and they were going, you know, maybe not a good investment a week ago, but maybe this week they are. Or the next coming week.
376 points. So they were so basically the weed bubble has broke and we might be coming back up. Mm. You never know.
Vapium, by the way, is a company that makes vaporizers. It makes sense. They're going to come in and talk to you, you new users. Because I know no one was using it before last week. But now, since you're all starting to use marijuana, we'll show you some new ways. Also, Monday, we have, as I mentioned, we have a new client. And quite a bit of talk. Well, the new client is a growing operation, a way for you to grow your own weed.
Hmm.
BYOC, bring your own cannabis.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny?
Oh, very funny.
Isn't everything funny?
It's almost like a throwback. Remember we had the, and people still do it, but back, I think it was in the 80s, maybe 90s. There was that big move towards making your own wine at home.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had a halfway chance of coming out with a decent, somewhat decent product.
Mm-hmm.
Like people, if they spent enough time with it and tried it enough times, there were never a home beer that was any good. And we've made that point.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some people that made, even my dad, made some passable homemade wine. So here we are all these years later.
Well, to be fair, there were some people that probably made their own great beer. We
sure,
just didn't
never had it.
Yeah, we never tasted it. All the homemade beer we tasted was shy, you know.
Paint stripper.
Somebody, I think on our Facebook page yesterday, posted Humble and Fred Summer Brew from the late 90s. Or
I posted it.
Oh, was it you?
Yeah. Someone had sent us a picture they found of our beer.
You know, and Jason Barr, Danger Boy, at the time, he went and bottled it with the people.
Wow.
And this was an operation that was somewhat a cut above, from what I remember,
mm-hmm.
was a cut above as far as home brew goes. And it was still awful.
Mm. It was heinous.
No, it was heinous. But anyway, some people could do decent wine. Anyway, oh, here we are all these years later, and people now are going to be making... Because it's literally a kit, right? That this guy
gives. Yeah, it's called homegrown kits, and for around $300, and I'll get you some details. But for a fairly reasonable investment in money and time, it's 90 days from beginning. I'm going to. Here's what I think we should do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think about this, Sean. I think we should grow weed somewhere. Like you get four plants out of this thing. It for 90 days of effort and $300, around $300, depending on the kit you get.
Mm-hmm.
You get a pound of weed. So maybe we can have Humble and Fred weed.
Yeah, but again, you got to watch the legalities of it.
Yes.
When you made, you don't mean to sell.
No.
You mean to share.
No.
You mean to share.
Why did you immediately think I wanted to sell it?
I don't know. You're an entrepreneur.
Oh, am I? Uh-huh. Really?
And obviously okay. these kits are within the parameters of legality.
No, I didn't mean to
no,
sell
I mean,
them.
No, I mean as far as amount.
No,
because you're only allowed four plants or whatever.
No, I think it would be an interesting experiment because, as I said to somebody yesterday, I've never grown anything.
Oh, you mean like when we did the chia pets?
No,
and
different.
And the sea monkeys.
That's right. The sea monkeys were a great bit.
Well, I think the chia pet was Pete and Geets.
Yeah,
maybe
that was before me. But
right.
You and I did sea monkeys.
I did chia pet. Yeah.
I've never grown. My father was a nice gardener. Obviously, your dad was a good gardener. My dad had a great garden filled with food. Mm-hmm. His tomatoes were some of the best I ever had. So I think we should grow our own weed.
That
Humble
would be
and
fun.
Fred Pot.
Mm-hmm. There's another story. In fact, I sent our brother station at News Talk 1010. I just sent a note to see if we can get the contact because they may have it. A guy named Mark Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Who on promotional TVO with Pokeroo, whenever there was a promotional thing, he would play Pokeroo. Not on TV, right?
Is this the Tokeroo story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he morphed that into Tokeroo. And he goes to certain places and there's a big joint hanging off and everything. But anyway.
I love that.
He's been given a cease and desist by TVO. He has to stop, apparently.
Stop being Tokaru.
Yeah, by Friday.
Tokaru!
So he...
And their thing is, you know, and they don't care. I mean, the defense is, hey, pot's legal now, but they say not for children. And,
no.
You know, Pokaru is directed at children, so Tokaru, you know, might titillate children, too, and that's just not cool.
So Tokaru has to cease and desist by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So some reason it makes me laugh, though, is he can just go around being Tokaru today all he wants.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm Tokaru.
Tokaru!
I'm Tokaru! Yeah, I saw that. I didn't realize what the story was about. By the way, to your point, canopy growth is down to 49.54 Canadian.
From?
Well, on September 27th, I'm looking at the month ticker here. It was just under $70. And if you go back...
That might be a good buy.
If you go back mm-hmm. 1 year, October
2017.
Well, early... Let's go to the beginning of this year. January of 2018, it was around $18.
Mm.
I bought it when it was $10.
Did you really?
I did. Nice. I didn't buy a lot of it, but I bought some of it at $10. Hmm. And that was like a year and a half ago. I'll tell you when it was $10. Yeah, early in 2017, you could have got it for about $10 or $12.
So now it's 49.
49.
And it was 80-something?
It was 70-something.
70-something.
But there's going to be, like anything else in this new, brave new world, there's going to be times when wheat stocks will be robust and other times of fallow or fallow. What is it when the...
Fallow.
Fallow, when crops go to fallow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
Is that when the birds go and eat all what's left, right?
You're such a city boy.
Yeah. What?
So when farmers and but the where I come from, we're growing the food for this country.
Right.
Yes, 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 yes.
So what they do is you'll have, like, in Moose Jaw, outside of Moose Jaw, I should say, and in Alberta, Saskatchewan, there's huge. People don't just have hundreds of acres. They have many, many sections of land.
Right.
But they won't plant crops on the same plot every year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'll let some of those go mm-hmm. to fallow, meaning they just rest.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be times like now where the wheat stalks are resting.
Because at the end of my street, believe it or not, in bustling Brampton, there's about 20 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story attached to it that has sat empty for years and years and years, as long as I've been there. And apparently this old woman owns it, and she won't sell it to developers unless they do super low density. So it doesn't make sense for them to buy it. Blah, blah, blah,
right, in the
meantime, she rents it to farmers, and they often plant corn there. And I think I know what you're talking about, because I don't think they do it every year. Maybe every other year a crop of corn.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do the crops of corn, and then they cultivate it, would that be the right word?
Yes.
Cultivate?
Yes.
It's amazing the birds that go in on that 20 acres. Some days you go by and all you can see, nothing but a sea of birds, because what they're doing, Howard, is they're going after the little kernels that dropped.
So they those farmers, by the way, farmers that plant corn are called cornholers.
They let them fallow.
Did you know
all right.
that, Sean? You know, when are we going to grow up? When are we going to grow up and do a real show?
But, some days it's fascinating. You look at this acreage, and you can hardly see the ground for the birds.
Mm.
They just... And why wouldn't they? They're hungry, and they're like us. They want to go for the easy kill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What better way for them to take the corn out, and then all of a sudden, what's left? They just go... They're all over it.
Well, this might...
Birds are people, too, you know.
They are. The last thing we would do is to, you know, recommend a stock or a sector to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be times when these wheat stocks will be available. And canopy growth, you know, it's like Warren Buffett said years ago about buying stocks like ABC and Disney and these things. He said, you know, a lot of Berkshire Hathaway at one time, his stock included Coca-Cola and, mm-hmm. you know, those type of, you know, ABC television. And as he said at the time, you know, those aren't going away. And even though canopy growth might be heading back down to some other level, it's not going away. Aurora, Canopy, some of these companies are now, especially with what Aurora is worth, Canopy isn't going anywhere. So they maybe when it might be in fallow right now, mm-hmm. much like Phil. Phil's fertility is in fallow.
I don't know. Will it ever be considered like a blue chip, though? It's sort of volatile, that whole. I mean, I sat with my analyst the other day.
Mm-hmm.
When I say analyst, I mean from two things, monetarily and my mind. You know, we're coming off a 10-year bull market, right?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're pounding the bear, and that could last a year, 15 months. So, you know, relax.
Yeah.
Look at all your look at all your graphs and charts.
And of course, don't forget
over history.
People want to cash in too, because this might just be, you know, people who want to reap the growth, right? Mm-hmm. People are harvesting from the stock,
right?
And letting it fallow.
Not Jimmy Fallow, Phil.
No.
Welcome. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about some vaping, as well, lots of stuff in the news. And at some point, I will explain how a day-long bout of driving around the city I was all over the place yesterday. At some point, I'll tell you the story of how going on a city safari yesterday, how it ended up costing me a significant amount of money.
What?
Why, another accident?
No, sir. I really am not ready to talk about it yet.
A ticket?
I'm not ready to talk about
it yet.
You
were texting while you were driving? You were texting and smoking a joint while you were driving.
I was texting my dealer whilst vaping and driving.
And letting your crop follow in the car.
Yeah. A friend of ours, for some time, he at one point was the news person on our radio program, on Mojo Radio. And now you see him on all over the hockey, Jeff Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
His father passed away.
Oh, no.
I bring it up because a lot of people know who Jeff is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
What is his... where is he broadcasting these days?
He's a host on Rogers Hockey Presentations. I would say, not to deplete his worth, but I would say sort of like a secondary host. Because, you know, you have Ron McLean on Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... Ron McLean on Saturday nights, and then the other guy, I even forget his name, that does Wednesday nights. But Jeff does other games where he hosts like the panel of guys that analyze hockey games. He does a fantastic podcast as well with Elliot Friedman called 31 Points or something, which I've listened to. He's a player, your Jeffrey,
yeah.
And he does radio on the sports station.
As far as being a secondary host, he's second to Ron McLean. Mm-hmm. I mean, is he the heir apparent to that gig? I don't know.
I could see it.
Really?
Well, you know, one of the things that's often said about Ron McLean is how smart he is. You know, quick on his feet, smart, comes up with stuff all the time. Jeff's a pretty smart guy, too.
Oh, very smart guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them have a similar interest in fine wines.
Mm.
When I first started my wine journey, you know, the wine space, I ticked all the wine boxes. When I first started my wine journey, the fellow that I drank a lot of red wine with was Jeff Merrick. And I know from being friends with Lumbee, who is very good friends with Ron McLean. Ron McLean also has this was back in the day, the wine days, has a taste for fine French wines.
Mm.
You know what I share with Jeff Merrick?
I do not know.
July 9th, birthdays.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Which, you have a birthday on the 9th?
Jeff and I were born on the same day, different years, of course. Mm-hmm. July 9th.
So, yes.
Me, Jeff, and O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm. Fine vintage.
I thought it was funny yesterday. We were talking about my daughter's champagne birthday, 24th on the 24th, and you asked if you could have one, too.
I was looking at it like it was a leap year or something.
No, yours was like, I don't think I had one of those. Oh. And we're like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
anyway, Merrick and I
had it in 1965.
Merrick and I went back and forth a little bit yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I just sent him a note because...
How did you find out? I never saw that.
I was on the Twitter.
Oh, on the Twits.
Was on the Twits. And I sent him a note. There was a bit that Jeff and I did when he was our news person. And we met Jeff. He had just been working on a show for years called Live Audio Wrestling, The Law.
Right.
It was a wrestling show he and a fellow did on AM 640, and then we sort of inherited the show, and then we inherited Jeff. And Jeff's mother and my mother had both passed away within a few years, and so we did this bit on the show. Do you remember what we did? where Jeff and I in the halls used to joke about whose mother was deader. And because Jeff was a wrestling guy, we had what we called the Humble and Jeff Dead Mother Smackdown. And right. What we did is we went back and forth one morning about whose mom was deader and how much sadder I should be versus him. And it was very funny. So there. And now I felt to reach out to him since we had that in common. I said, I know you've lost your father, as I did. And I said, I won't lie to you, it's not a very pleasant experience. I said, you'll get through it, but just, you know, don't try and go around it because it's pretty crappy, especially now that you're an orphan.
How old was his dad?
I don't know.
Was he in the good run category? He had a good run? Like our dads had a good run.
They were
in their 80s.
You get to early 80s, that's when you're supposed to go.
That's a good
don't
run.
Hang around. No one wants your run.
Yesterday was, I think you touched on it a bit. Yesterday was a sad day because our good friend Mike Cooper, was a huge radio host in this city on Chum and CFTR, and then with Aaron Davis at CHFI. His wife passed away the day before yesterday. Very sad, from colon cancer. You know, and he just retires, and I guess, you know, they were all set for their retirement years and doing this and doing that. Mm-hmm. And then the big C takes her. It's just horrible. Horrible.
In the news as well, Donald Trump has he actually reacted to these bombs yet? I mean, I thought it was Ann Coulter. Her reaction was, there's some now rumbling that it was the Democrats sending themselves bombs. Really? Which is great. That's such a Republican.
No, I know, which isn't out of the realm of possibility.
It's a pretty big leap.
I know it's a big leap. My problem is how quickly they would go there. I mean, somebody's capable of doing that. Listen, the way things are in the United States, who knows at this point? It's just how quickly they want to go there. Mm-hmm. Who knows until the investigation's done, where they came from, who did it. The point with the president is, though, from all I saw, and he may have changed at some point, he is such a bastard. You know, he wouldn't mention Clinton. He wouldn't mention Obama. He wouldn't mention CNN. He said some high-ranking officials, American officials, you know, were threatened today or had bombs sent to them. And then again, last night at his rally, he makes it about him again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, blaming the media for being so one-sided and vindictive and meaning on him.
He's called, this is the best though, Trump calls for more civility in public life.
Of all the people.
He says, those engaged in the political arena must stop treating political opponents as being morally defective. Meanwhile, he's the guy.
Crooked Hillary. Pocahontas. On and on.
He's insane. No one should carelessly compare political opponents to historic villains. Mm-hmm. You know what he's talking about? Him being compared to Hitler.
Mm-hmm. It's all right for him to call that Warren chick.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren. Pocahontas. Which is a historic reference. Yeah.
She wasn't a villain.
But you understand, this is where we're at. Where, you know, they say his approval ratings have popped up a bit lately. You know, you just pile layer after layer after layer. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy, he's got to be brilliant because he keeps doing it and he's surviving and people are buying it.
Oh, yes.
Like, he says that. You shouldn't compare me to Hitler, but it's all right for him. Do people not have memories that he compared the other woman to, like, Pocahontas? Like, what is their problem?
You know, and the thing about, like, how quickly we got to maybe the Democrats are sending themselves bums is because 3 days ago, we had the president of the world talking about, I don't know if there's people from the ISIS in the caravan. Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. Like, what? It's the premise is so bizarre.
Well, I can't honestly, it's not. That could happen, but the thing is, it's not. The point
with
is
no
it's
proof.
I know,
bring it up.
That's my point.
Well, that's the point.
Anything's possible.
Sure,
but
it
they
is.
Go there so fast from an evil position.
Fred,
that's the point I'm
making. I agree.
Yeah,
anything's possible. Mm-hmm. But until you know, how are we talking about it? Because all he said
was,
the point. And because he's doing that to go, I don't know, maybe there's people from ISIS in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and he actually said, well, there's no proof either way.
Right.
But you bring it up.
No, I know. I saw an American said yesterday, and I don't know, I saw it somewhere. Said the result of being uninformed in the United States right now, the result of being uninformed is sanity.
Yeah.
Let's it really
that,
is.
Let's pick that up after our first break. It's Humble and Fred Radio, live on the Comedy Superstation that was endorsed by everybody. Everyone loves this station the most. Funny 820, and of course at humbleandfredradio.com. Hello. Hello. Why isn't this? Oh, there's the. I just did. Okay. Okay. Listen. Listen, there's times where, you know, it's not super slick. Just live with it, people. Well, I didn't have the thing up. I got a lot of,
I know.
By judgment of the moon and stars themselves,
you must listen.
The legendary Humble and Fred Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. That's how it's supposed to be. It's I'm a Camera from Mark Jordan. Less than a week from now, Humble and Fred in Hamilton, broadcasting live from the Palatial Studios of Funny 820. After that, we're going to meet the staff. How horribly disappointing for them. Just be.
We got a text along those lines, Howard. It says, when you guys come to Hamilton next week, Freddie should wear that James Brown costume he mentioned yesterday. It will create some buzz.
That's right.
Yeah. We're talking about the whole blackface controversy.
That's so weird. Now, you see, if we were really edgy, that's what we would do. You'd come as James Brown, fully on, and I just dress as, like, a rabbi.
Right.
Hello, Hamilton.
Hello, Hamilton.
That was from Ryan P. in Hamilton.
Listen, I'll tell you, let's get them stickers. Hamilton loves Humble and Fred.
And whatever. Yes, Freddie Eisenberger will be on the show.
Ian Thomas as well will be on the show next week. And Ralph Ben-Murgy, all Hamilton residents of some renown. Before we get any further along, though, let's talk about our friends at the Chamber Plan, Mr. Fred.
Well, let's do that. The Chamber's Plan is Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. Chamber's Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for firms with, one to 100 employees. If you go to chamberplan.ca, you can get a free quote. Yes, you can. You know, put in your information about your small business, and it will tell you what it will cost you to reward your employees with security. That's what you'd be doing. Over 30,000 Canadian businesses now part of this. They've been around for 40 years. It's simple, it's stable, it's smart. It's the way to go for your small business. Chamberplan.ca for a free quote.
FYIMusic.ca, your one-stop shop for all things going on in the Canadian music industry, whether it's features, charts, you can even get a gig. Let's say you're looking for a gig. Go to FYI Music News. The lead story, you talked about this, Ted Nugent has an article.
Yeah, I got no time for him.
Well, because he likes to kill things.
No, I know.
He's a big game hunter.
And he's a hard-line conservative.
Oh, yeah, he's a super conservative.
Uh-huh.
But Music Biz Headlines, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, everything from that to Passenger Channels North America on new album called Runway. Make sure you check it out at fyimusicnews.ca.
And it's funny I say that because I'm a conservative.
Oh,
I'm a Canadian conservative.
Mm-hmm. No, we know what you are, sir.
No, I know.
But
these hardline over-the-top guys are just as ridiculous as the hardline on the other side.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, sure.
You're barely a conservative, for God's sake.
In Canada, I am a conservative.
Yeah, but you're not one of those, hey, let's all get together and hate everybody conservatives.
No.
You know those guys.
No. I'm a fiscal conservative, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, everybody is.
No, they are.
Well,
what do you mean everybody?
Everybody is. Don't be
you
silly.
You mean everybody over 40, maybe.
Yeah, don't be silly. Everyone we know are fiscal conservatives. You're not unique.
I never said I was unique.
You are not. Nice shirt again, by the way.
Never said I was unique.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's 3 days
just
in a row.
What's that?
Nice shirts.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very nice.
Well, it's shirt time.
It is shirt time.
Now that the fall is set in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still wear the T-shirts, but under the shirt.
We don't want to get chilled.
Yeah. No, seriously, I don't.
No. So.
Although that's not a problem in this wonderful studio.
Mm-hmm. So working backwards, if I may take a minute of your time. I could tell you this story. It could take you a half an hour, but I'm going to try and do it in 45 seconds. Yesterday was my daughter's birthday. Yesterday, also, my other daughter was recovering from wisdom teeth surgery. Her face is all puffed up. Sean, you were right. Second day after the surgery, face, you know, gets swollen up like Phil's head. And yesterday, I had to pick up my girl, GFR, girlfriend Rachel. I had to pick her up from an appointment, a procedure. She had a procedure.
Right.
So there was a lot of driving around the city yesterday. Just know that. You know, I tried to do something cute for Rachel, so I dropped Stan off at her house first so that when I brought her home from her procedure, the surprise would be her Stan there to cuddle her, make her feel better.
Very thoughtful.
But it was a lot of, as I explained to Phil before you got here, there was, I don't know, I drove hundreds of kilometers yesterday around the city of Toronto.
Hundreds?
Okay.
It maybe a hundred.
Like, okay. A lot of kilometers, Fred.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah.
I know you conservatives don't like to talk about big numbers.
No, I'm fiscal kilometer.
I would be fiscally conservative.
Probably, yes.
What do you mean probably? You sit across from me every day. Am I not fiscally conservative?
Yeah, yeah.
Why'd you say probably then?
Oh, okay. I was confirming with the wrong word. Sorry. Yes, you are. Sorry.
I don't think you think I'm fiscally conservative. Anyway, I did a lot of driving around. I had to pick up Rachel, take her home, and then go to see my daughter, Spencer, make sure she was okay, spend a couple hours with her. And then Charlie, who really, she popped her ankle playing soccer a couple nights ago, and it was swollen up. So I went back to Young and Bloor, where she works, and took her to where she lives. And then took her to a walk-in clinic. And it was kind of cute because my daughter Charlie was born yesterday at around 6:30 in the evening. You were there? She asked me why you were there. And I said, because she said to me last night, why was Fred at my birth if he already had kids?
I was just excited for you.
That's what I said. He's a lovely man, fiscally conservative, and very excited for our family. And you were.
Doing a radio bit probably, right?
No, he just showed up. Hey. No, so it was kind of cute because yesterday, at the moment my daughter was born 24 years ago, I was sitting in a medical facility with her to get her ankle checked.
Right.
Yeah, it was cute. It's all great. But I dropped her off at her house so that she could change and put her stuff away from work before I took her to the clinic. And where she lives on King Street in Toronto, between 3 and 7 in the afternoon, you can't park in that street.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I didn't. I didn't park on the street. What I did is across from her is sort of a condo facility, I think they're called. And I parked in the condo driveway. No one was coming in and out. And even though I was technically in the street, and it was, by the way, 20 to 7 or quarter to 7 or something. But I wasn't, doesn't matter what I was doing. But here's the problem. I'm sitting in my car honestly, it was going to be a 5-minute pause while she changed.
You stayed in the car?
I stayed in the car.
Oh, okay.
And I was, for the first time in a few hours, was catching up on my emails. We had a few things to book, and I was sending out some notes to people that had been on the show, and I had my head down.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the guy whips over and he sticks a ticket on my car.
Oh.
While I'm in the car.
Oh.
And I get out of the car. I go, oh, sir, I'm really sorry. I'm just waiting for my daughter because I didn't want to. I could have parked down the street around the corner, but I didn't want her to walk because she was hobbling.
Do you think he knew you were in the car?
Freddie.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Absolutely, he knew.
Oh, okay.
Here's how I know he knew. Because he just snuck around. It wasn't like he didn't. All of a sudden, there was some. I mean, he came around the back.
So he put everything into the little machine.
All of it.
Right. And then attacked.
And his car was across the street in front of my daughter's building.
Right.
So, and then it all kind of like, what? What's happening? And I even said to him, I'm like, sir, I was just going to, like, I was like, I'm so sorry. And this guy, probably in his mid 40s, just wouldn't stop and talk to me. I said, I'm really sorry. He said, well, this is a law. You shouldn't park here. I said, well, why didn't you
Wasn't it private?
Well, that's the weird thing. I was on the street, but I was actually parked in the driveway part.
Oh,
but
but
it was part of the live lane.
Oh, okay.
I was in the wrong.
Okay.
And I could argue that I wasn't even on city property, but here's the thing. And I said this to him. I said, oh, come on. You couldn't have knocked on the door. I mean, come on. He's like, nope. You should know it says 7 o'clock, and he did all that stuff. And I go, I know, but guy to guy. Couldn't you have just given me a heads up? Because he was parked across the street for however number of minutes it took to write me a ticket for $150.
Get out.
That's what I said to him. I'm like, oh, I said, just be a good guy. And the irony is where his car was parked was doing more obstruction of traffic than mine was.
Mm-hmm.
So however number of minutes it took him to write the ticket and put all the information in. And I know I'm in the wrong. I'm wrong, but just as a guy, hey, I'm about to, just FYI, you would have been, if you're trying to make the city better, safer, then move me along.
No.
I know.
That's a revenue stream.
Oh, yes.
You know, when he goes out in the day, he's expected to come up with, you know, the thing is, if he was having a good ticket day, he may have done that.
Yeah.
But if he wasn't having a good ticket day, he's thinking, geez, you know, there's one ripe for the picking. It's a seedy little game, but and did he not? He didn't get into any type of conversation with you.
It's funny you say that because from the moment he gave me the ticket and I got out of my car, he just went into run and gun mode. That's what they're taught to do. He was not going to. He didn't even want to turn around and have a conversation with me.
Right,
and I get that too. As I said to Charlie, he doesn't know if I'm going to take a swing at him or lose my mind. And I get that he didn't want to stop and converse about it.
Right.
And I wasn't even really mad. I was just more that sort of
exasperation.
Exasperated or exacerbated. No, what is it? What was that?
Exasperation. Exasperated.
Exasperation.
Mm, yes.
Like, just be just be a nice person.
Yeah.
Like, it's 6:45. You're blocking the lane on the other side. I wasn't even blocking it. Like, I wasn't even, like, parked in the live lane. I was parked with a couple of my wheels in the live lane.
Mm-hmm.
And as he said, you're up on the sidewalk. I'm like, they're not on the... Technically, the sidewalk is the driveway. But I just kept saying to him, oh, you couldn't have just knocked on the door. And I'd been I left the house here at 10:30. This was 7 o'clock at night, and I'd basically...
You had had enough.
No, I'd basically been driving all over the city for most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how I didn't get mad. I just got like, come on, just give a guy a break. It would have been
once he punches that stuff in, no, you're fried.
Oh no, for sure.
There's no turning back.
But you couldn't have just honked like beep beep, and I would have literally moved. And it was just, it could have been a second of his time. Just go, hey, you got to move it along. You know,
sometimes. Yes. No, I agree. I agree.
But
that's
right.
Not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about what you just said. I thought about that, too, that he has a quota to fill, and here was $150.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with safety.
No.
It does somewhere on the list, but it's way down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge revenue stream.
But the thing is,
for the city
to block traffic on the other side of the road to give you a ticket.
Well, that's ironic.
That causes more trouble. You're breaking your own law.
That is irony.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's literally writing the ticket in a live lane, breaking
his own law. Yes. It just seems ridiculous.
And earlier in the day, a woman gave me the finger. I actually thought that was going to be the story. But that was nothing compared to the other end of the day where I got a $150 ticket. 150.
Mm-hmm.
150.
Parking in town.
You know, you mentioned, he blocked more traffic by giving you the ticket than you were, actually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that, too. You know the signs now, they say if it's a small accident, pull it over to the side so traffic can move.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those situations now, you'll find, like, emergency vehicles or police will pull up to that and block a lane.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Instead of, like, getting in behind, it's almost like, you know, sometimes I get the feeling they almost, those guys feel powerful by blocking a lane and looking back, hey, I caused that. Look at me. Because of me, I've caused that. I may be wrong, but sometimes it just doesn't make sense how they create a minor fender bender into a huge traffic block because of their vehicles, not the ones that were involved
in
the
accident. Well, you know whose fault
that is. Oh.
The Democrats. The Democrats. I'll tell you what happened last night. A Democratic parking guy gave me a ticket. And he cited a mob.
Elizabeth Warren's son.
Was he, was he ISIS? I don't know. Could have been. I don't have any proof one way or the other.
He was part of a convoy.
You talk about being in the city for that long, too, and the traffic and parking and everything. It's... you know, the older I get, I don't like to be in crowds anymore.
Yes.
I don't even like rooms with lots of people. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I hear stuff differently now, noise differently. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting tinnitus like my mother or something.
Mama.
But that a din, it just bothers me.
Or how about a hubbub?
Or a hubbub.
Okay.
You know, the other day on Tuesday, I'm down in the city. I'm sorry. I couldn't deal with it. You know, and the one thing about that city now, it's a city of heads down. Everybody's busy and everybody's going somewhere. But even if they're not on their phone, heads are down. It's like everybody is just so wound up and in a hurry and going here and going that and appear to be stressed out. I don't like the vibe. I just don't. And I walked from Spadina over to Yonge and then down to Wellington. And it was just, I thought, wow, I would not want to be part of this and then get in a car and it's tenfold, especially in those interior streets. I don't know how people do it.
We know what it
is. When you do it, you have to do it. It's the Democrats.
The liberals.
It's Debbie What's-Her-Face.
I get it. You know, I mean, for 4.5-5 months, basically from May until a couple weeks ago, I wasn't really in the core that much.
Yeah, yeah.
I spent most of my time going west. Uh-huh. Out to golf courses and such. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to get back into the rhythm of it. Because you're right, it's a lot of chaos.
Oh.
And if I was to tell you the driving I did yesterday, and I know I didn't do hundreds of kilometers, but I was in the car.
It felt like it.
I was in the car off and on between Rachel and the two girls, just all over the city. And as the day wore on, because in the mid-morning, mid-afternoon, early afternoon, I should say, it's quite pleasant getting around. You know, I was telling Phil, all the little legs that I drove that were 18 minutes were 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the afternoon, mm-hmm. I left Spencer to mm-hmm. pick up Charlie, and it's about a 20-minute drive. And that took 40 minutes because now the city is packed. And then going from Charlie's office to her house, also very, very chaotic. And then some liberal gave me a ticket.
This parking ninja.
But yeah,
he didn't have to do that.
No, he didn't.
He could have just been a nice person, especially knowing that he was going to throw me $150. If it was 40 bucks, which is, by the way, what I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
If it was a 40 bucker, go ahead and give it to me.
Well, you know, that happened last winter to Delise.
Mm-hmm.
In our neighborhood. And the thing is, a stop sign, you're supposed to come to a complete stop.
Yes.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she admits she came to a stop, but never completely stopped and just sort of, as they say, rolled through the stop sign.
Right, crawled through.
But nobody else is around. Not anyone else is around.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one of those situations where the cop, even if he stopped or said, you know, next time you got to come to a complete stop. But instead, that turns into a ticket, 100 and whatever, a court case and trying to fight it and trying to save your insurance, all because a cop could have just said in a situation like that, come to a complete stop. It's not like she blew through it.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped, but her wheels didn't stop moving, you know? But there's tons of that. It's just it's luck of the draw. If you catch a good guy at the right time, the right moment, right circumstance. But
I was unlucky. My cop was a commie.
Yeah.
I had a commie cop.
Commie cop.
Commie.
Commie cop. He was a commie cop.
Yeah. Mr. Trotsky.
But, you know, I think the... Can you imagine building that into your day, though? That traffic every day? Can you imagine working downtown and if you choose to drive or even transit?
Nobody drives downtown.
No.
Can you imagine part of my day is I've had a good, productive 8-hour day at work. Now I have to walk, get down, and squeeze onto a GO train.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's like...
The people that live out of in the suburbs, and remember when I was living briefly with Lady Friend, I mean, she did that.
Mm-hmm.
She was an hour 45 in each way, and I don't know how anyone does it. But in the city, you know, Rachel, Charlie, Spencer, none of those people drive. I was complaining briefly. I don't complain. I was just sort of mentioning that the streetcars, I hate them. Because when you're going up and down Queen and King, you know, you're just at the mercy of waiting for the guy to shut the doors so that you can get around him or her to get through the green light. It happened to me last night. I'm trying to get home. It's 8:30, and those new super trains.
Oh, yes, the Bombardiers.
Well, the long street cars, the new ones, they have multiple doors. So a couple people got on. And I had the light. The light was green. And I'm just waiting for him to shut the doors so I can get past him. Nope.
No, sir. No. Power.
Because the socialists are driving
these
trains.
He's looking in the rearview mirror going, that guy looks pretty impatient. I'm just going to wait before I shut this door.
Buddy.
Right.
Buddy. Old Howard couldn't have handled this kind of day. Old Howard, there would have been trouble on many accounts.
No, I just,
But new Howard just sits there listening to 70s on 7, singing along. You know.
Listen, I guess if you're in your 30s or 40s and you still have a long work life ahead of you and that is your reality, you get your head around it. This is what my day involves. My day just doesn't involve an 8-hour workday. Mm-hmm. It involves this commute, which can be more punishing than the 8-hour workday.
It feels like a prison term, really. You're forced to go to work like this.
Look at people. Say people work 9 to 5 and you work out. Say you live out somewhere in Brampton. You probably got to leave the house at 7, 7:30. And then you work to 5. And then, you know, if you drive, you're not home till 7 or you're not home till 7:30. Like, and then how much time is that to have dinner and relax? And then you're back at it again. We're so lucky. Like,
wow,
I never had that.
Lucky.
Never had that in my life.
No, neither
ever.
Have I. Neither
and
have I.
And it's only getting worse. And the thing is, if you choose to live downtown to avoid all that because you work downtown, then the cost. Rents in the city now are over like $2,000 for a crappy little apartment.
Well, don't go there then.
And you can't afford. No, and you can't afford to buy. And.
Oh, man.
No, my heart bleeds for these people.
Okay.
I'm just glad I'm not one of them. That's all.
Let me tell you, as somebody who lives here but doesn't have to really go anywhere, it's definitely more of a consideration than when I lived in Oakville, where I could get anywhere in 5 or 6 minutes.
Sure.
You know what? One of the features of my house that I love more than anything else?
What's that?
2 or 3 times a year, the smell of cow poop. You know when they liquefy cow poop for fertilizer?
Yes.
And that smell, it just sort of permeates the whole area.
Yeah.
That's what I love about my house. Because I get out of the car and that's all I can smell. And I think, ooh, that's awful. But it's just me against the world. There's nobody else around
me. Well, you know what I love about living in the city?
What?
Is the smell of homeless urine.
Yeah, liquefied.
2 or 3 times a day, I'm outside and I go, wait a second. Is that homeless urine from Parkdale?
Smelly, smelly.
$150, Phil,
for sitting there.
But I will say this. In conclusion, it was a beautiful. I got to spend time with both of my daughters and lovely Rachel. And I got to be with Charlie for her birthday for a few minutes.
Did you have? Oh no, you're having the dinner tonight.
Well, we're having the big official birthday dinner tonight. Without actually, because mother. Who's Randy? She's on a trip with her sister.
Nice trip.
So it's going to be Charlie, her boyfriend, Spencer, her boyfriend, Howard, and Rachel for the birthday. Charlie invited Rachel, which I thought was very significant.
Aww. Where is the...
Some kind of hippity-doodle
hipster restaurant.
Where I said to Spencer and Charlie, no entrees. I looked at the menu. Nobody's getting entrees.
Why?
So, because usually the mother and I split the birthday dinner costs.
Right.
Mother's out of town. It's all on me, conveniently.
So what do you mean no entree? So they can only have an appetizer?
I said everyone can have an appetizer and a salad. That's all you get.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. I'm on a budget.
You know, my son and I, my sweet Danny boy, as I mentioned yesterday, we went for lunch at this Thai restaurant. And it was pretty busy. And the guy said, I can get you in right now if you don't mind a shared table. Well, I didn't know exactly what he meant.
Right.
And then Danny said, sure. So then we sat down. I mean, it's literally a shared table.
Yes.
Like
that's
this
what we
long...
do here in the city.
I know.
We sit with other people.
We don't have shared tables in Bratton.
I know. Everyone gets their own restaurant.
Ooh.
And it's just funny the way you have to yell. It's amazing. You're yelling at the person across from you.
Yeah.
And the people beside you are yelling, but you're not really hearing what they're saying.
Right.
I know.
Because you're concentrating on what the person across from you is yelling.
That's how we do it here. I have eaten with more strangers in the last 2.5 years than I care to remember.
Oh, man.
Would you like your own table, or would you like to sit with these people? These liberals. That's what I always say. I go, I'll share a table, but no liberals, please. It's Humble and Fred Radio. We got to take a quick break here. We're going to talk about vaping and so many more items on the agenda. HumbleandFredRadio.com and, of course, live on Funny 820 in Ontario.
It used to be so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy, and I knew just what to
do. To connect with Humble and Fred anytime, Humble and Fred at HumbleandFredRadio.com. Morning show.
There's a port on a western bay. 1-833-437-8465. Call our stink line. I would call this morning and tell you what stinks is the parking people that had to give me a $150 ticket. Why'd you do that?
Why did you do that?
Because the person hates themselves. And they're probably liberals. You know, they...
The Dems.
The Dems will do anything. It was a Democrat. They sent me a parking garage, parking ticket guy.
The liberals.
The liberals. Exactly. This program brought to you by Spearhead.
Let me tell you about Spearhead. Let me give you an overview, okay? Located in historic Kingston, Ontario, they brew a unique handcrafted beer in small batches using the finest, freshest ingredients and a spirit of adventure. They may do some crazy, unusual things in making their beer, but for them, well, that's what it's all about, having fun. Spearhead Brewing Company, beer without boundaries, the Hawaiian Pale Ale, and, you know, the Sam Roberts Band Ale is the ones we most often talk about. Worth a try from Spearhead. LCBO, beer stores on tap in select areas. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Now, Barker's here. She's been, you've been all over North America. You've done Asia.
I have done.
You've done it all.
Asia
you've
and North America.
Have you done Europa?
I have.
You've been everywhere.
Well, it depends.
Here's the thing. Whether it's North America, Europa, or Asia. Any of those places. Make sure you travel well. Take Gig Sky with you. It's super cheap. I mean, here's the thing. You can use your phone company's data roaming, but why don't you just bend over? I mean,
well,
seriously.
Exactly. The rates have just gone up for two of the companies.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The rates are going down over here at Gig Sky. Gig Sky, the rates are less. There's 1 gig and 2 gig data plans for North America and Europa that are now $5 less than before. For instance, for 15 days, you can get 1 gig for like $20, Phil. And what
quite reasonable.
What plan did you get, Mama?
So Mama and Wifey, they both have Cambodia plans. Okay. And in Vietnam, they had Asia Pacific plans because you could also get regional plans as well.
Oh,
depends
I didn't
on the country.
Know that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. GigSky.com, HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Thank God it's Thursday. It's the last live Humble and Fred show this week. And, of course, tomorrow, the best of Humble and Fred, hosted by Felicia Hong. And then Saturday morning as well. Saturday and Sunday afternoons on News Talk 1010. And, of course, the library of Humble and Fred content getting close to... We really should find out when we do our 2000th. Podcast.
Absolutely. And don't
forget, when do you think we'll do that?
Mondays on the river as well, by the way.
Mondays on the river.
Yeah. Right.
In Durham County.
When do you think we'll get to 2000?
No. Take me to the river. Take me to the river.
That should be Gray County, not Durham.
I had a fish that sang that song.
Well, you don't
you
sing
walk
like
by
a...
on the...
Oh, really?
You don't sing like a fiscal conservative. You sing like a GD liberal.
Sings like a Dem. I just like saying Dem.
I know.
Dem, the Dems.
He talks a good game, but he doesn't sing like a conservative. So that's what's happening. And then, of course, we're in Hamilton for Wednesday the 31st. Is that Halloween? Are we doing the Humble and Fred? Are we going to dress up, Phil? Will we have candy for the other staff
Spooky
members?
Spooky Hamilton. Spooky. Ontario's Halloween capital. Maybe.
That's great. For a second there, she had me convinced.
Is it really? You're like, what?
I didn't know that. I've lived here a long time. Nobody
told
me that.
I feel like they celebrated.
You know, like Hamilton. Hamilton would be like Toronto used to be.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Very manageable. Mm. You could get down there, not overwhelming, not super congested. That's what Hamilton is now. Just a nice bite of a city. And we'll be there next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting times for Hamilton when the Humble and Fred show is going to sauce into town. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can call us on our stink line. You can also text us. And I'm going to move on from the ticket thing because I understand I'm in the wrong. And when you're wrong, you can't do the time, don't do the crime. But, you know, we're just people here on this planet. We're just living on this planet spinning in space. And that person, obviously, is somebody who was very, very uptight, could not have just simply honked or knocked on my window.
But you know what a common thread is with, be it parking tickets, speeding tickets? Notice whenever anybody talks about one, they didn't deserve it.
I know you're saying you do.
I totally deserve it.
But there's always a story like it's this should have happened or that should have happened.
I only went 60 on a 50. They gave me a $32 ticket. Why?
Oh, no.
I looked at my speedometer and I was not speeding. You know, that type of thing. Yeah. But I did come to a complete stop.
While you were talking about how it's just, there is a different rhythm to the city. You know, Barker and I, spend time driving about the city streets, and it's stressful. I'm lucky I don't have to do it. I do it when I have to, but I don't have to do it every day. You do, though.
I've backed into, I do it. I do it. From
do
here,
it
I do an hour, solid hour through the city, and then I, it's probably another 45 minutes to get home. Like, yeah, it's crazy. I drive a lot in the city. I've backed into two poles this week. It's been a bad week for driving in Barker.
Yeah, well, I can see it, man. Yeah. You get out there, you're stressful. You back into a pole just to relieve the stress.
What do you got against poles?
And people are uptight, you know, people drive, and that's what happens is there's almost never a time I'm out driving around, and I was out a lot yesterday, where there's this honking and people angry and stuff. It's hilarious
to
me. I
get patronizing, which is brutal. That's my go-to for whatever reason. So even if I'm in the wrong, 2 days ago I was in North York, and this guy, it's a long story of how it happened, but I had to drive through the crosswalk, guys. That's what happened.
You went driving
I was turning
across,
red, and then this girl darted in front of me. She did not have the right of way, but I'm not going to hit her. And so she finally runs a past and whatever. And so then I'm mid-turn, so I turn. Well, at that point, the light had changed, and they did have the right of way, but I'm still turning, and I'm halfway through it. So, of course, I continue to turn, and this guy smashes on my passenger window is what that's called, and starts screaming at me. And I roll the window down. I'm like, oh, it's so hard to be you.
Really?
That's I'm that person. I'm horrible. It's so hard. You have a hard life.
Yeah, that might make me more pissed off.
I know. It escalates people like nothing else.
That was his aim.
My wife claims that she would live downtown, which I can understand. If you live downtown and you didn't need a car, you didn't have to take your car out of the underground and your whole life was there, I can sort of get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what disturbed me the other day, and again, I don't go there a lot, there doesn't seem to be a lot of joy down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if I am a 20-something, a 30-something, and I live that cool Queen Street West lifestyle, I get that vibe and I can buy in and it's different. But generally, for someone of my age, it's like everybody's wound. You just feel it. And no wonder, they are wound. You know, it's tough out there.
Well, that's your perception based on a recent visit.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's definitely also a different vibe in the city at night.
Sure.
You know, during the day...
I wouldn't know.
Well, I'm telling you. During the day, it's a hard place to get around when it's busy.
Mm-hmm.
But at night, you know, it's almost like people... It's the payoff for having put up with all this aggravation is that you're close to everything. You know, if you feel like Honduran food at that moment, it's available. You know what I'm saying?
But
it's
our demographic?
Not our demographic.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No.
I could see how the younger people...
But there's a cohort of our demographic.
There is. I mean...
That does what you said. They don't drive around a lot. The city's different at night. I find it's a little bit looser. People are a little bit more...
Well, the construction is also stopped. Like,
stopped
yesterday, I had a few different little visits to do and things to do through the city. Ended up on Dundas, which is down to one lane through Chinatown. So I was just sitting there for 45 minutes. And then there was a protest. I don't know if that was the postal workers or somebody else, but that that cut off all of College Street. So you know what I mean? Like, it was just, there's no...
Well,
no,
I feel you, sister, because I went from where Spencer, who lives with my ex-wife in the, say, St. Clair and Jane area, mm-hmm. to Young and Bloor, and then I cut down to King and Shaw mm-hmm. by Dundas through Chinatown.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I went through Dundas all the way from Church Street. So Church Street going
that was
west.
Me yesterday. Yeah,
through Dundas in the city.
Horrible.
And then through, it was just like
horrible.
And because I thought, oh, this, I won't go to Queen Street. It'll be too busy. I was on Dundas for hours.
That was my thought too. That I did. We did the exact. When were you there? We were probably
like
I was 6
o'clock at night.
Yelling out and patronizing.
Yeah.
Each other probably.
Oh, are you having a bad day?
It's so hard to be humble,
it's
Howard.
So bad for you.
You know, this is and this is music to the ears to our Hamilton listeners,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Sure is.
We're selling Hamilton right now.
We are.
We are.
Because, you know, even when Patrick Brown was elected mayor of Brampton the other day, his whole spin now is let's bring industry there so people in Brampton don't have to get up in the morning and battle with the 410.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create our own little thing here. And, you know, can you imagine that, getting a good job in Hamilton? So you get a taste of a neat little city mm-hmm. and not have to deal with this.
But
and one day it may get that big. But.
Well, in Hamilton or Brampton or Mississauga, mm-hmm. there's frustrated drivers. Driving really
yeah.
has. The irony is that as I've gotten older, I've gotten less aggressive as a driver. Mm-hmm. And now I can kind of see it for what it is, which is where that. I love that attitude of yours, Barker, which is I'm similar. I don't get into confrontations anymore. Mm-hmm. I just get into like even with the $150 ticket guy. I wasn't speaking to him in an angry tone. I'm mm-hmm. speaking to him as almost pleading, like, come on, as a
right.
just as a guy here on the
planet. As a buddy, even though we've never met
before. We're bros.
You know that attitude. Let's just be...
Come on,
Let's be real.
Don't give me a ticket. We'll watch golf together.
Yeah, come on.
It's not like you have a real job. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what you're saying,
yeah,
right?
Come on. I'm just a guy out here.
But you want to come? You want to come to my daughter's dinner?
Yeah, we're going to go to the hipster Italian place tomorrow. Come join us. Because it would have cost me less to invite him to dinner.
That's a good point.
Wait a minute, too. By the way, is that serious about you can't have an entree? So you're taking them all out for dinner to...
Yeah, I said no one can have an entree.
Well, what are these? What?
I don't know.
Is it all sharing plates?
No.
Because that's everywhere.
That's another, I know.
So they're all going to...
In the city, we have sharing plates at McDonald's.
That's all.
Yeah.
Are you going to get the filet of fish? Okay, I'm going to get a little bit of filet of fish.
Oh, good. We'll split the filet of fish.
So they're all going to sit there with a menu. Or are you going to ask them to bring you an appetizer menu and, like, not bring the real menu so it'll not to aggravate
Here's
the people?
Here's what I did is I cut and pasted the menu from this place. And I sent it to Charlie Spencer and Rachel.
Right.
I said, these are the items. I highlighted the items.
You're kidding.
They're allowed to order.
No, you did
I'm not.
Not.
You did
to
not.
To your girlfriend?
You did not.
24-year-old daughter.
I said, no. I said, here's the thing. We're sharing an appetizer. Because there's six people. Each couple can share an appetizer. An appetizer, and everyone shares a salad and or a dipping sauce.
A dipping sauce.
No, what's the truth in that?
There is no truth in any of it.
Oh, they can have an entree?
The truth is, we're on a comedy superstation.
So they can have an entree.
Have whatever you want.
I love that they have dipping sauce. I just love the idea of a hipster Italian
restaurant. I love
the idea
of a sharing plate at McDonald's. That's a pretty funny concept.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Use it for one of your bits.
For one of my comedy routines.
I
was sort of kidding my ex-wife. I'm like, oh, so you're going to be out of town for the birthday dinner. I guess that'll be my responsibility.
Well, why didn't she leave a couple of hun back?
Hundies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's out of town?
Yeah, she's out of town.
Where is she?
She's in Aspen with her sister. Lives in Aspen.
Her sister lives in Aspen.
They have a home in Aspen, Fred. Don't
as well as the one here?
Whatever. Oh. I don't ask questions.
Aspen, huh?
Aspen.
That's pretty high end.
I don't know. I don't speak about any of these things.
You know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what if...
And he opted out of that family.
I was going to say, if I was still in the family, everyone can have two entrees.
Yeah.
So, but your point about people getting mad at one another.
Hmm.
You know, I left the house at 10:30, got home at 8:30 last night, and just drove all over the place. But one of my very first encounters is I was coming up a street around here. It's a residential street, and as I approached the Queensway, I could see it was just jammed. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple spots where it's very difficult to get into traffic. In fact, sometimes just turning out of this place is tough.
Terrific.
Right? Yep.
And so I saw the traffic, and I stopped for a second. Again, just stopped in a residential area. Mm-hmm. And there was a parking lot of a restaurant. And what happened was I went, oh, okay, I'll just stop here for a second. And I saw a woman. And she was trying to do one of those things where you do like a 360 mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. road and then park across the street. Oh. So I stopped for a second and went, oh, I'm not going to bother with the Queensway. And I started backing into the parking lot. And she got, and you know, at first I didn't know what was going on. But then I got the honking. And then I see her. Mid-30s, late-30s, early-40s, something like that. And she's gesturing wildly at me. But rather than get mad at her, I just look at her and go...
You that's all, I that's all.
Yeah, like, I just said, oh, you want to be, you want to play crazy?
Here. For those who can't see, what he's doing right now is sort of churning the air
she was, like, yelling
with gritted teeth.
And making a face at me. So I did that. And then I roll my window down. And I said something like, can you see yourself?
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a good one.
I was like, oh, do you see what you're doing? And she has her window
You're
down.
Doing what I used to do.
Right. Right.
I was absolutely. You, friend. Uh-huh. I was you.
Absolutely.
I was you, and then I matured.
And so then she said, this was what the weirdest thing. She said, I'm trying to get over there. And over there was just across the street. Like, mm-hmm. wait a second. And then I said, well, you'll be there soon or something like that. And she just got frustrated at me and just went.
Yeah, that's the answer.
But
right?
It was like an exclamation.
He just gave a finger gesture.
But it was the way she did it. The way she did it was like with that exclamation mark, like, oh, right. whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
And nice. That's when you laugh. That's when you start laughing, because that's when they have no recourse. You
said,
just start laughing.
No trace for you.
Another thing, too, is sometimes you're out there, and, you know, you do something. You've made an honest mistake. You've been in that position before.
Mm.
But those people still get mad at you when you know they can relate to it.
Right.
It's like you just did this one little thing, you're wrong, excuse me. But they get pissed off, you get the finger, they're mad, they're shaking their arms. When you know they've done the same thing.
Absolutely.
Inadvertently. And again, it's just all part of the wound up thing. It's just not for a second like, oh yeah, I did that too. Okay, buddy, take, you know. Do what you have to
if
do.
If they were your friend's friends at a dinner party, you'd
exactly.
love them. You'd have this wonderful mm-hmm. conversation with them. But in that moment, they are the worst. Mm-hmm. They respond to Satan.
You know, I guess because when you're in all this, you don't notice it as much. I mean, it's different for you because
right.
just like me,
well,
when
you're
I lived
conditioned.
In, when I lived in Oakville, I was only in mm-hmm. the city for work mm-hmm. and then I would go home.
Right.
But when you're in here all the time, you sort of become used to the way that people interact with each other. And whether it's their heads are down. I was in a restaurant a couple nights ago and was waiting for my order. And the couple, a younger couple, not super young, but like 20s couple. And both of them, while they were waiting for their orders, were sitting with each other looking at their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, I know
yeah,
that's very common. I know that's
yeah.
commonplace. Right. But I just noticed it for a bit. I thought, isn't that interesting? Because 25 years ago, they would be talking mm-hmm. to each other.
Yes.
15 years ago, they would be conversing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is a small sampling. But I, you know, and I'm not a super world traveler. But I'll tell you, when you're in Rome, you're in Paris, you're in these...
Hong Kong.
It's a different vibe.
Yes.
People seem looser.
What, they're not looking at their phones
no,
in Hong Kong?
Not no, like no, that. No, not no, like us.
That's
He's
not
right.
what I'm saying.
He's
I'm
right.
Just the levity, the just a different vibe. People are looser, enjoying themselves more.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a small sample size for me, but there's just one thing. Especially in Rome, it's like everybody's just happy. You know,
we've become so solitary to our devices. Listen to this. I almost got sideswiped yesterday by a car, and it's a new plate and everything. He's from Woodbridge too, blah blah blah. And so I'm on the left lane, he's on the right lane, he's about to hit the middle of my car, and I honked him, and he was on his phone. He got so angry he tailed me all the way to my house. Obviously he lives in the neighborhood.
Oh,
but
oh, I wonder who would do that.
I don't know who. Where?
Remember when you drove to Hamilton?
Oh yeah,
he tailed me.
Why?
Because he was
you?
wrong.
You make a mistake in this old Howard's world. I tailgate you to your home.
How dare you exist?
I bought a home next to you.
He followed you to your home?
Well, because he's in the same neighborhood. So when I turned into my street, he just kept going. But the thing is, he got angry at me because he was on his phone and almost hit me.
No, I know. But see, that's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
He knows he's in the wrong.
Yeah.
So immediately he's got to pretend
like, how
that
dare you?
It's you, not
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
For what? To what end? You know,
to one end.
You
know what? People are sickening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why people, you know, you escalate it in the States. People are shooting each other.
And there are so many incidents that happen to people in the city. It becomes just everyday commonplace. Dan Duran and myself leaving Yuck Yucks on Saturday night, walking down Queen Street in a westerly fashion, walking west on Queen Street on the south side of the street. Dan and I go to cross, and both of us get hit by a car. That's a true story.
What?
I got hit, and then Dan got hit. Well, the guy wasn't looking.
Right.
He was making a right turn, and we had the right of way because our light was green, mm-hmm. and he was doing the right-hand turn on the red light, didn't notice me first. He hit us both enough that it knocked us
away. What intersection?
Walking. Wow.
What intersection?
Queen and John.
I've been hit right there, and I can tell you why, because that
you
was
don't
my
notice or?
My first week in Toronto. I was crossing that intersection. I had the right of way. I was walk.
Yeah,
I started walking, and he turned on, taking a left.
Oh, a lefty, yeah.
Onto which he's allowed to do onto Queen. I'm thinking that's the same intersection.
Well, but he was turning right, and as we were crossing,
okay,
the street,
same other end.
He hit
then.
Both of us.
It's the same way that light goes. Anyway, mm-hmm. yeah, and not looking.
Not looking.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, and again, you know, we were both Dan and I gave him the arms, like, what are you doing? What are you doing, mm-hmm. arms?
Yeah.
Right? And he just looked kind of like, he puts his arms up like, I'm really sorry.
Because he had the right, because he had a turning light. He had a light telling him to turn. He just didn't, he thought the lights were the king.
He had red. We had green.
Okay.
And he basically hit us in the intersection. He pulled over and stopped thinking he had, you know, done some damage. We weren't. We were unhurt.
Well, that's good.
We were both unheard, but we were a little bit shaken.
Why didn't you
up.
Call Diamond to Diamond?
Yeah, right.
Diamond.
Call Diamond to Diamond. You get your $150 back.
Hey!
Or at least they get them for 3 months.
75 two payments.
Diamond to Diamond? Yeah. Listen, these are unrelated incidents, and I'm hoping to...
I'm hoping to break together. Even. Yeah. I want to break even.
Okay, started with the ticket for $150, but then a few days before that, I was hitting.
What can
and
you
then,
do?
Yeah, then he'd say, it'll cost you $10,150. as I say to Delise, there's no reason to live downtown because if we live there, mm-hmm. the novelty would wear off.
Oh, yeah.
It's better to once a year, visit.
Yes,
and
visit us.
It's like a vacation,
depends
right?
Depends on where your work is. For me, it's there's no way.
We can go down there once a year and enjoy the big, vibrant city, right? It's like being like somewhere else.
There is something to be said, though, because, again, your perspective is different than ours and mine.
Very much so.
And there is something to be said. I love it because of the proximity to things I like to do.
Oh, yes.
But there are days like yesterday when I'm like, you're so in it. It's not, I don't think the word is frustrating. Mm. It's all, you have no way out of it. Even when I went home last night after all this, I didn't want to mention I had something to eat that I think Fred would love, but I know you two have had.
What's that?
I had it for the first time last night.
Oh.
What?
Fancy.
Bim bang bop.
Okay.
You mean
bibimbap.
Bibimbap. What's that?
Bibimbap. Bibim means vegetable in Korean. Bibim means... You've had bibimbap.
No, I don't think so.
You've had it with me, friend.
Not in this form.
Okay. In a hot pot? Dosat bibimbap.
Freddy, it's like a Korean... It's part salad... Part noodle dish, part meat, and then they top it off with a lovely egg.
Yep.
I got to tell
you. Did you have the hot? In the
no,
hot?
Yes, the stone.
No, what I did is I went to this place as a takeout place for the Bing Bang Bop, and it was the craziest. I thought, ooh, my boy Fred would love this because it's got an Asian flavor, but yet it's got some vegetables in it.
Well, let's do our Christmas party at a Korean restaurant.
A little crunch,
this year.
Little like sweetness.
Our office
like
Christmas
last year's?
Party.
Yeah. Did we have one last
year? No, 2 years ago. Idris's dad hooked us up.
What's the name of that dish? Want some soon?
Yes.
Is that what it's called? Want some soon?
Yes, that's what it was
called.
Bing bong bong.
I'll bring you some
fantastic.
Bibimbap is, I ate it every day for a year
I was
of my life.
I'm thinking this is the craziest salad I've ever had.
Isn't it great?
It was so good.
And you can adjust the hot sauce, the gochujang.
Well, that was, and so at the end of this whole ordeal, I walked my daughter hobbled back to her place, and I said, "You going to eat something?" She goes, "Yeah, I'll just pick up something here." I said, "Well, let me get it," and I got the Bing Bang Bomb.
Where did you have bibimbap?
Just somewhere on King Street. I don't know.
Yeah, nice.
It was really good, and they made their own kimchi, which I love.
Mm. Very good for you.
So I just wanted to say it all ended nicely. It was a lovely.
Did you
end
go to the walk-in?
Yes.
And what was the result of that? Usually, they say with stuff like that, you should go right to the emergency, because often the walk-in will say, oh, you better go to emergency.
No, I told her, she said, Daddy, should I go to a hospital? And I said, not unless you want to just be there, you know, the whole night.
So what did they say at the walk-in?
Said she got a bad sprain, and she's going to have some...
They didn't recommend x-rays?
Yeah, x-rays today.
Mm.
At a hospital.
Yes, but that's not...
But she's an appointment.
That will no longer be involving me. All right? Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk about the revolution that is vapium. I know you've probably heard that cannabis is now legal. What a great addition to the cannabis family. A Canadian company seamlessly blending technology and cannabis use. And we'll talk about what all that means to you when we come back live on a comedy superstation around North America. And we're getting, you know, I just saw a text the other day from Vancouver. People are listening to us live on the iHeartRadio app.
Ooh, groovy.
And, of course, at humbleandfredradio.com.
And at the same, every other word is a huh, yeah, okay. Could it be that you are at the grave with another lady? If you took it there, first of all...
Very bit. No. Yes.
The legendary Humble and Fred Show. Humble and Fred Radio.
Good to be with you as we wind down another Humble and Fred program. Next time, you'll hear us tomorrow morning, The Best of Humble and Fred, hosted by Phil Hong. Same on Saturday. Then News Talk 1010, Saturday and Sunday evening. And Monday nights on the river, Phil Hong, ladies and gentlemen, the host of The Best of Humble and Fred. Connect with Phil on all your social media. Welcome to our program. The co-founder and chief engineer of a company called Vapium Inc., as well as the co-founder and CMO of Vapium, Michael Jacheski and Lisa Haroon.
Hey, good pronunciation.
Lisa. Michael and Lisa, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you both here. We were doing a little chatty chats before that we came back from the break, and I was sort of setting the table. That's what you do when you're a big talk show host.
Yes, and we found out that Michael and Lisa are former CFNY/Edge listeners, so they go back some time with us, which is great.
Even though they seem very, very young to have even heard of us, it's great to have you guys here. And where I wanted to begin, because we've had a lot of conversations the last 6 months to a year about the cannabis revolution that's happened in Canada, what were you guys doing when you heard that there was legalization in the air? And then tell us how you went from a notion, an idea, if you will, to what Vapium has become and why you went this route. Lisa?
It was 2012, and Canada had already had the nationwide medical program. So we were already proud Canadians and believe that cannabis is medicine. And Michael is a roboticist, and one day came home to me. Yeah, amazing. You should see the things that he's...
Yeah, we got to talk about robots.
We absolutely
do. Because, Michael, I do believe the revolution is here. So I'll be careful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Continue, please.
And he came home one day and he said, what do you think about making a vaporizer? And at that time, we were living in Asia, and my first reaction was, I don't want to go to jail, but I think it's amazing. And as Canadians, I want to be part of this conversation, and I want to bring what we know in terms of robotics and innovation into this space, because I think we can make it better.
Well, there was other... What is it about this one or about yours, your idea that you thought would be unique compared to other vaporizers? Or
so my background is a toy industry and robotics. Mm-hmm. So I spent many years doing that. I lived in Hong Kong for 12 years. And so I wanted to bring all the ethical manufacturing practices from the toy industry, which is, I don't know if you know, but it's very, very regimented, very strict. It's very hard to get a product approved to be sold in Walmart, Toys R Us, Target, Radio Shack. So I want to bring all those ethical manufacturing practices from that side into manufacturing vaporizers, which are, in some cases, medical devices and used by people for inhalation of aromatics. And for that, we wanted to bring really strong manufacturing to the point where our factory now is set up to be medically manufacturing approved. We manufacture medical products, and we're really proud of that.
You know, there's I want to talk a little bit, obviously, about what the vaporizer that you guys do does. But getting back to this idea of robotics and toy manufacturing, I told you about that. There was a great Netflix documentary. I said you'd love it because it's all about toys of the 60s and how they were developed. And it was very interesting, the to your point about how difficult it is to bring a toy to market.
Right.
Not just does it catch on with kids, but how it's manufactured. It's a very arduous task.
It's very complicated, very arduous. It's brand building is a big thing. That's really important. You got to build a brand.
Safety is a huge thing.
Safety
too,
is a huge thing too. Safety components, a lot of tests, a lot of the toy torture labs, as we've seen. Toys being dropped and kicked and burned. And
because you know, back in the 60s and our 50s, 60s, probably early 70s, a lot of toys actually, when you look back, were dangerous.
Yes.
They could hurt you.
It's almost
they don't
like
allow that anymore.
Our parents, like our parents didn't care about us. Right. Here, Howard, play with this ball of razors. Yeah. I don't know, Mommy.
Well, remember those toys that had the bent metal edges? Like all the gearboxes, you cut yourself on the gears and things. And
or stuff you could swallow.
Yeah.
I know.
No, it's funny. The parents of the 60s, I bought him the latest toy. It's just a bunch of spikes. I hurts.
What's that, bag of broken glass out in life, right?
Oh, well, this will be fun.
It's funny you say that. Like lawn darts, remember? All the what we went through with lawn darts.
Who thought that was a good idea?
People die.
You know what? We know what we should get for Howie and Freddie to keep them occupied. Let's get them speared. So toys, it's interesting you come from that background. And for some time now, I've been posting the odd Facebook thing of robots doing crazy stuff. And I'm a little bit concerned because, you know, as a fan of Terminator, you know, I believe that that's possible. Where are we at with robotics? And then we'll talk about vaporizers.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you heard the before, but Google bought a company called Boston Dynamics.
I was going to say super that Boston cool. company.
And that Boston company, you see what they're doing?
Yes.
That is freaky. Cool.
That robot can climb things.
Climbs,
yes.
You know, the one that carries the mules, the one on the wheels, now it can jump over obstacles.
Yeah.
And you have some of the biggest AI power in Google. You have the mechanics of Boston Dynamics. And put those two together, you've got, what, Skynet?
You do have Skynet. And that's just, you heard that from the man who worked in robots. Take cover. Let's talk about... So you guys came back from Asia. This legalization happened a week ago. How have you mentioned something that's it's code. I love it. It's aromatics. And Lisa, maybe you can explain how you get around or got around or how companies got around manufacturing these items prior to legalization. And that's the key word, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And so what we did was we, for lack of a better explanation, we lawyered up.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that we wanted to make sure that we were insulated, right? Coming from Asia, there's zero tolerance. But we knew that there was a need. And you're going to see, I think, in the next couple of years that the Asian market is going to become one of the biggest markets in the world. I mean, it's 1 billion people. There's a lot of smokers there. And there's a lot of interest in this space. And so what we did was we were agnostic. We didn't post. One, I don't believe that body parts sell products. So we were always very respectful. Obviously, as a co-founder and being a woman, I wanted to make sure that our technology spoke for itself and that it wasn't about putting, you know, the double B's, boobs and bust, behind it. One. And then two, about the fact that there are aromatics across the board that you can take for wellness. And then coming back, Fred, you asked, how did we differentiate ourselves? We looked at the market and there were only a few players at that time. And we said, what are the things that are missing? And how can we make something that is something that's going to last for people? And one of the things, you know, at the beginning when we were doing our first talkie-talkie, Humble had explained that he has some devices that have glass in them. And glass is precious. And glass breaks when it drops. It doesn't matter how robust it is. And so when we first started, we wanted to make the Swiss Army knife of vaporizers. And that was our flagship product. And it's the only one that you can actually vape in the shower.
Which has been a problem for me because I'm like, I'm in the shower. I don't want to stop vaping just to get clean. And by the way, you should know that as feminists, Fred and I have a strict no boob policy with each other. Because there was a time when a lot, you know, we would do the odd show topless, and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore, Fred.
To this extent, I once had boobs and I had them removed.
He had them certainly reduced,
which is true.
But we digress now. It's interesting you say, because I wanted you to just touch on briefly, if you can. There are lots of products that you can, there are lots of consumables and aren't THC based. And your vaporizer was using, you were working with that first prior to it being used for marijuana.
So we, you know, our vape was
aromatics. Aromatics.
So we call them aromatics, loose leaf, ground aromatherapy. I call them in patent applications phytomaterials. And you know, with using these kind of these products in our app, we had to we have a whole list of different aromatics you can use with our vaporizer. So we had a smartphone controlled product, and so you can use chamomile. I've tested with a lot of green tea, other things you can vaporize, and as the temperature's there, you can vaporize them at different temperatures, different and they have different properties.
And what would the point of vaporizing tea be? Like what?
There would be some caffeine that would be emitted, so you get a bit of a caffeine.
And before I forget, can you vaporize any nicotine products in yours? Are there nicotine products now being sold? Because I know a lot of these stores around here vaporizing the e-cigarettes, but that's not. Is that what your product can do?
No. We don't promote tobacco use.
No, exactly, and you shouldn't,
because that's not medicine.
That's not medicine. Actually, if I may, traditional, like our native Canadians, that is medicine, and that's what they believe is medicine. But that you don't want to vaporize. Mm-hmm. They have traditional methods of doing it. We don't advocate for tobacco use. We've created ours. Mm-hmm.
So now that legalization is here, and your product is available, using it responsibly, obviously, in the shower if you need to. I'm in a hurry. I need to vape some Humble and Fred Kush. That, by the way, that earlier, because one of our new clients is has a grow your own kit, right? It's homegrown kit,
right?
But I want to grow. I've never grown anything in my life. I want to grow our own weed, and then come up with funny names for it. You know, because there's Kush, and there's OG this, and there's Chemtrail, and there's,
you call it Humbled and Fred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one I had tried last year. It was called Afghan Bull Rider.
There you go.
Which is my favorite of all time. So Vapium, the Vapium Light. Why is it called? What is the name of the actual? Is it called the Light or?
It's called the Light.
The Light.
Yeah. Some of the reasons by Light is light on the price, $99 retail, which is
amazing,
first of its kind. We want somebody to get light on the user experience. We want to make it easy to use. So three button simple operation. We have laser marked temperatures on there. We have power on, temp up, temp down. So you can really kind of see what the product is doing quite easily. It's easy to fill, and it's also got cleaner that comes into it. So it's light on any kind of other crap that you're sucking through it.
And it's for if one was to have some bud, some flower, I think the kids call it, Lisa. One would be able to put it in a chamber, I'm assuming, and then clickety click, boom boom, and then all is good.
Yes.
you should grind it first, though. Mm-hmm. We recommend grinding it before you put it in the chamber.
And does that work like with oil too?
No, it's just for loose leaf aromatics.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the best part about it is the fact that it has a built-in pick tool, so you tamp it down after you've ground it and filled it.
Robot guy keeps calling it aromatics. I like that. But you can use weed in it, too, if you like.
Some people have, yeah. No, it works great with that, too.
Have you tested? How much testing went into the Light?
Lots of testing.
I bet it did.
There's been a lot of product testers out there. We have there's no lack of product testers that are willing to test our products.
And where do people find the Light from Vapium? Where do they get that?
On Vapium.com.
There it is. I got it. There we go. Yeah.
Simple to find, simple to use.
Light, portable, reliable, discreet. It really is something else. And as I said to you guys, the hard to believe where we've come from to how we're having this conversation now. And I think it's great.
It's normalization. We're on the cusp of cannabis 3.0. We came from something that was previously stigmatized to a point, at least in Canada, of we're going from stigma to sophistication. We're able to have intellectual conversations about it. We're able to bring
not
it
here, but in real places. Like, this wouldn't be one of those places, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's exciting. It's when it goes into mass market. That's really when you're going to be able to see, go into a Walmart, into a Shoppers Drug Mart, where you're able to, you know, you have a physical person in front of you, and you can ask them questions, and hopefully they have some experience.
Well, and how far away is that, do you think?
It's getting pretty close. There's some big retailers that are really getting excited about carrying these products because they see that there's a need for it.
Mm-hmm. Michael Chachesky, Lisa Haroon, thank you very much for your participation on this nonsense program today. We hope you enjoyed yourself.
Absolutely.
We did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and before you go, because we're going to, we've got about like 10 minutes left in our show, and we have some other things to take care of. Would you be, we would welcome you to stay. Would you like to stay and have a grown-up conversation after with one of us?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll try and be a little more mature off the air. You know, Michael, we're just... Just a couple of nincompoops.
But they seem like old friends, Howard.
No, I know. And they seem very, very... You know what's the problem is? There's
very
a lot of,
smart?
This side of the room's IQ is dwarfing this side of the room. I started an IQ test the other day, and I got like 3 questions in, and I was like, well, this is too much for me. And that's when it came back and said you were like 78 or something.
Where were you trained for robotics?
I was went to school of Mac, engineering physics.
Yeah.
So engineering physics is kind of everything. It's a bag of all trades. And then I started doing it for manufacturing up in Hong Kong, in China. A lot of factories doing robotics and robotics toys.
And where did you and Lisa meet?
We met in New York. At New York Toy Fair, actually.
So I was in the business as well.
You were in the toy business?
I was.
What toy business were you in?
So I did plastic molded injected toys, collectibles. They were called Go-Go's Crazy Bones. And Michael and I had the same distributor. And so that's how we met.
Interesting. Interesting times with Michael and Lisa. Look at it. You know what? Thanks. Smart people can do anything they want. They can do anything they want. You and I. This is all we.
You guys got a great thing going on.
For.
We got a great thing going on.
This is great. You guys have been on air for so long. It's amazing.
No, you guys are
hard to believe.
Yeah.
We have the CN Tower and we have Humble and Fred in Toronto.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, yes. That's sweet.
2 icons. Mm-hmm. Well, before this gets even more awkward, let's just say go to Vapium, VAPIUM.com. And I can't wait to charge it up, grind up some aromatics, just see where that takes me.
He has so many ailments.
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
You know, yeah.
And it comes pre-charged, too.
Oh, it does.
Oh, really?
Convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready well, for use.
Yeah. Well, then, Papa, we'll have a little test drive a little bit later. Maybe a little after breakfast bake.
Your elbows will be fine by 10 a.m.
Yes, my friend. Because that's what I use the medicine for, Michael and Lisa. I'm not one of those recreational users, you know, boobity-boo, get stoned and watch Netflix.
Maybe you should give him robotic limbs. That would help.
Well, maybe they could help you with one of your most recent illnesses.
Maybe they could
put a mini cannon arm in your pants.
So much fun being on your show.
Sorry, Lisa. Sorry, I had to hear that.
Thank you very much.
Not in front of Lisa and Michael. All right, we're going to just tell everyone to go to vapium.com. The product looks amazing. It's only $99. And if you're looking for a great way, as you say, it comes charged, grind up some stuff. If you're looking for a great way to hit it, in the shower, too. I mean, that's amazing, you know? So... How about scuba diving? Can I vape while I'm scuba diving?
I don't think Patty would recommend that.
Excellent. Not Pat. Hey, great to know, Mike. Not Patty certified. See, you know what it turns out? It turns out he's super smart. He's a very nice person. He probably dived.
He does. He's a master diver. Sorry.
Whatever, Michael. I'm Patty certified, by the way.
We should go diving together.
We should.
Yeah.
We'll go diving, and just before we go down, hit the Vapium. No.
Post.
Do you dive into caves and wrecks and stuff like that?
I've done wrecks before, but caves don't interest me so much, but wrecks are
no,
super
I know.
Cool.
I'd be afraid. I wouldn't want to go in there.
Yeah, I had a chance to do a cave dive at night in Hawaii.
Hmm.
And I was very, very nervous. I was with a very experienced diver. It's very claustrophobic. But, you know, it's funny that a lot of people find, and I know you know this as a master diver, a lot of people find the whole diving experience very claustrophobic in general, which is weird because you're...
Me.
Even though, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure you've seen people, I know from first watching people do their first dive, part of the thing is breathing underwater, but it's also they feel very closed in.
I think it's the most free feeling, but I can see if people get that because it's you're kind of this environment where it's a lot of the unknown, all this empty space around you, and you know, especially going to caves or into wrecks or things like that, it's you feel the things close in. I've been through shipwrecks before. You have to swim like 20 meters, and you kind of start going through your head, what if I can't get out?
Right.
Or something like that.
Oh, that's what I'd be thinking. Or what if I bumped into something that ripped open the tube or something?
We're just better off staying here.
Well, that's why you have a buddy, right? You grab your buddy's regulator and you start buddy breathing off them.
Oh, right, buddy breathing. We do that.
Yes.
Which you guys don't see is underneath this table. We're sharing a lung.
You can do buddy vaping, too.
Yes.
Just not while you're diving.
Oh, yes. We all kinds of buddiness.
All right, Michael and Lisa, just everyone get some pictures. Go over here.
Thanks, guys,
for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Humble and Fred Radio, brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Mr. Fred. The Sherpa, of course, in here the other day talking all sorts of sense. I think this is, you got that one?
Yes. Right. Oh, okay.
There's the latest one.
Yes.
All right.
Yesterday, the Sherpa was in here, Tim Niblett. He's a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. He was in talking about changes, you know, just take the last couple of weeks. Selling a business in a few years, you want to be tax effective and more? Well, yeah, he could help you with that. Maybe you just need a second opinion for investments and a plan, including some real estate to review. Anything like that, Tim is the guy that can put it all into perspective for you and show you how to position it for your future. Tim Niblett has, you know, he's talked to a lot of Humble and Fred listeners. He sent us a note yesterday. He has even more Humble and Fred listeners coming on board. And why wouldn't they? Because Tim Niblett is the Retirement Sherpa. He's the way to go to manage your money. RetirementSherpa.ca.
Now, we talked to our good friends from Vapium. Right now, Michael and I are making plans to go do a cave dive just off Hanlon's Point. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, but we're doing some cool stuff. In the world of cannabis, there's only one way to use it better, and that's with StrainPrint, a companion app that will help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. So you get to Vapium, you need to know what strain is best for inflammation, for migraines, for any number of symptoms and relief you get from various cannabis products. It could just be some CBDs. There's lots of people sharing the information on the StrainPrint app. Have you guys heard about this? It's unbelievable. That's really cool. StrainPrint.ca. Get it free. Apple or Google Play. And visit the website and find out what they're up to and what other people are doing to make their cannabis experience even better. You know, I have used different vaporizers. And what I like about this one is it's very very small. Like I have a couple. I have one vaporizer that's like, you know, like the size of a mason jar with a glass tube sticking out of it, and it's fine. But I find it hard
when you're listening to Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I'm listening to my Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze.
Yeah.
By the way, we should grow our own weed, and we should have the listeners come up with different names for it.
Yeah,
because we'll have some fun. Like I honestly, there's if you go to StrainPrint or you go to any of the, you can look up. There's so many different strains. We would have some fun. Well, I think we should grow either a Kush, because Kush is a funny.
What we're about to do, can we influence the strain at all, or is it all one? Can you influence
What you can do is you can buy different seeds. You can buy, you can grow an indica, you can grow a sativa. You could even grow some more of a therapy plant, like just CBD, heavy strain. Mm-hmm. We're going to have so much fun. Philly, we're not going to do a podcast extra today. Sean, get on over here, Sergeant Sean, and tell us one of your stories.
Well, since we are talking a lot about
We already talked about Tokaroo,
today,
though, right?
Yeah, but we didn't discuss this free weed bin going on at the airport right now.
Listen to this story, kids.
Apparently, since you have to, before you cross the security gate at the airport, give up your small liquids, all that stuff, and drop it in this plastic garbage bag right at the front of the gate. Apparently, there's this now new garbage bin that has been accumulating everyone's pot, and there's a sign right beside it saying, dump your pot here, and people have been going to the airport to collect this free pot because it's right in front of the security lineup.
And no one's... And you're
What do you mean? You can just...
It's just a garbage bin.
Yeah.
So you can reach in and grab other people's pots?
It's not in a restricted area. So you're able to go there just to pick up pot.
Technically legal. And people are just, I got to get on an airplane, can't take my pot with me, just put it in there. It's like a take a penny, leave a penny.
Why can't we take our pot
take
with
a
us?
Pot, leave a pot.
Why yeah. can't I take, if I'm flying to Calgary, why can't I take pot with me?
Domestically you can.
Domestically
not
you can, but it's the U.S., Canada.
U.S., right, of course not.
So it's,
who would do that? Like, you wouldn't think far enough ahead?
It was
to
great.
Leave it at home?
Well, and there's it was some Twitter guy found it on, and so he was posting these pictures on Twitter and on Instagram and everything because he only showed up to the airport to go to this garbage bin, get his free pot, go home. And so, great story. I don't know. That's
I love
what
that.
I want to get into.
Again, as I was saying to Lisa and Michael before we came back from the break, all the things you could ever have thought of with legalization, there's another thing you never would have expected.
Uh-huh. Howie, the other day, I'm downtown walking around, I see a bulk barn, and I think, could the bulk barn get into it? You just have a big thing there, because it's all done by weight. Couldn't you just scoop it up, put in a bag, weigh it, and there you go.
I'd like some Ike and Mike's and 3 grams of Humble and Fred Kush. All right, everyone, see you later.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Spearhead Brewing Company, and Strain Print. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Best of Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.